Welcome to the Friday edition of the Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. As we rounded out the third week of the Forge series, one of the things that we talked about is how Habakkuk kind of gave us a couple of bookends on this deconstruction of culture, right? One of them we talked about actually on Monday on the Drivecast was pride. But the other bookend that he talked about down in verse 18 was he talked about idolatry. He said, what profit is an idol when its maker is shaped in a metal image, a teacher of lies, for its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. And his point there is that men make idols that are a reflection of their own desires. In other words, if I want a God who gives me more crops, that's the God that I make, that I shape out of metal or wood or something else. If I want a God that gives me more rain for my crops, then that's the kind of God that I make and that I shape. It's the idol is really just a reflection of my own selfishness and desires. And so the question that we then have to ask is, where does that work in our lives? Because our tendency is to say, well, you know, there are other cultures who struggle with idolatry and these little man-made gods up on their shelves, and we're way smarter than that. But the reality is we choose the idol of self instead of one that's up on a shelf. And idolatry is just taking a good thing and really making it the ultimate thing. So a few of the idols that we talked about at the Lewis Center campus, we really talked about the idol of intelligence, the fact that we're a high IQ culture, that we it's okay to be almost anything in our culture except not smart. And it's good for us to think. There's nothing wrong with that. I said to our congregation on Sunday, we need thinkers in Christianity. And at the same time, you have to be careful that your thinking doesn't become the thinking, that you become a know-it-all that actually alienates people instead of that one that loves people. And so the result of good thinking underneath the lordship of Christ should draw people and not repel people. Another thing we talked about is just our image, the vibe, the swagger that we kind of put out there. We create this image where we buy things with money we don't have. Really, we buy things we don't want. And we're not even really concerned about the people that we're impressing all that much. So I think the way that we kind of said it is we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because we've made an idol out of this image that we want to project. Men and women struggle with it. We set up these ideal people that we're going to find somewhere, this ideal man that's going to complete us, that has us at hello. And we talked about how, you know, women in their 30s and 40s and 50s, they know they've looked for him. They went to the Empire State Building on New Year's Eve, right, to find him and found out he was not there. They found a good man. They married him. They thought that was him. And now they know that's not him. Why is that? Because Ecclesiastes 3 said that God's put eternity in our hearts, and you cannot lay a weight on a man's shoulders to live up to something that only God can live up to. And men kind of, they do the same thing. They think they're going to find a woman, yeah, who's virtuous, but also a Victoria's Secret angel model on her in her spare time, right? And so they create this ideal image to try to get through really at a deeper level, how they think a woman who's pretty enough is somehow going to help them answer all the questions that they've had going on in their lives. And so for men, really, they have to realize that they are on a team. When they're home, they're on a team with their wives. It's not that their wives are there to worship them. No, they're together in the fight. And then one of the other ones we talked about that I think is real prevalent in our culture is sports. And I made everyone in our church repeat, my child will not be a professional athlete. And I know some people say, we haven't seen my kid, Dean. And I get it. You're right. I haven't seen your kid. But I know the odds are better of your child being struck by lightning than they are that they're going to become a professional athlete. And so at age 5, I think we just got to ratchet our expectations back a little bit. And listen, I love sports as much as anybody else. I love what it teaches. I love humility and teamwork and grit and all those kinds of things. And at the same time, I think we lay unrealistic expectations upon our kids that they are never going to live up to. And so where we landed was we said, you know, if sports and men and women and IQ, intelligence and image, if those things make lousy gods, who makes a great God? And what we said was, as God does, God makes a really great God. And just like the Babylonians tried to clothe themselves with glory and honor, what we see is that Jesus came to earth and he emptied himself of glory. He made himself of no reputation. And what happens there is that God exalts him. So we really wanted to focus on laying our idols down and allowing God to exalt us. So as you head into the weekend, whatever it is you've got out in front of you, I hope that you'll take the opportunity to do that. So let's pray towards that right now. God, I pray this weekend that you'll help us, that you'll help us not only to see our idols, but to lay them down, to humble ourselves in front of you, to lose our lives for your sake, God, because we believe that you're going to exalt us and that you're going to use our lives, Lord, in eternal ways instead of just temporal ways for ourselves. Thank you that you would even see fit not only to love us, to choose us, but to use us as well. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I hope you guys have a great weekend and join us once again next Monday for the Drivecast.